This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ben, good to hear from you, man. Hopefully all things are well considering everything going on, and I sure as heck hope we are, we're talking about football like a month from now, like actual training camp. But how are things, man?
They're pretty good here. Being here in Colorado, they locked everything down pretty early, and we're doing a pretty decent job here of slowly opening back up and containing and mitigating everything. So far, so good out here.
Keep on keeping on, as they say. Ben, I'm glad I got you on, because the Denver Broncos have been sort of the toast of the town, or well, really the league, over the last, month and a half, especially since the NFL draft. But more importantly, the talk has surrounded their young quarterback, Drew Lock, who really came on towards the end of last season. Most notably, that Houston Texans game was sort of his coming out party last year. The expectations are high outside. Are they equally as high within the Broncos organization and fan base, or would you maybe make it a notch higher, that they're slightly higher there in Denver?
Well, the optimism certainly is high. I don't think you have anybody here in Denver clamoring that Drew Lock is going to be the league MVP a la Colin Cowherd.
But sure.
I think that I think there's a cautious optimism here. Certainly the most talented at the quarterback position that they've had since Peyton Manning kind of fell off. And I think there's, you look at the coaching staff they have, the defense that they have, and all the young offensive talent that they added, and I think that there's a probably warranted sense of cautious optimism.
You know, the thing that I think most interesting is about Locke is his ability to sort of overcome some really sloppy footwork. He's got one of those Josh Allen type arms, and I mean, you throw him in the altitude in Denver, you're talking about a significantly... the guy's arm is legit. It's NFL. It's top tier NFL caliber. And I wonder what the additions this offseason. I really liked the addition of KJ Hamler and Jerry Jeudy in the draft back to back. The only concern I have there, Ben, is with the shortened offseason, is this the year you want to be the team with a young quarterback going in with two young guys you're going to definitely be relying on? Obviously, Cortland Sutton's a guy that's been around and was able to do some great things with Locke last year, but wondering what the addition of two young players in a position we know takes some time to acclimate with that route tree. Give me a little thought process of maybe what kind of growing pains we can expect early from a really, really young wide receiver core.
Well, wide receivers tend to take a little while to develop anyway. It's one of those positions that takes about 2 years to really start to develop. Expecting the immediate all-pro impact or that kind of thing would have been an unrealistic expectation. I think they're hoping to get contributions from Hamler and Jeudy this year and really have them come into their own next year. You look at the team this year, Cortland Sutton's going to be the number one. Noah Fant kind of came into his own down the stretch last year. And they still have a very good player, Tim Patrick, who is very reliable on third downs and in goal line situations. Didn't get much run last year due to injury, but is a very good player in his own right. So, I think they're going to be okay as far as that goes. They've certainly seen that the quarterback can pivot with little time. He was on the injured reserve, came off the IR, and was ready to go in 2 weeks last year with the Chargers and then the Texans. So, I think they expect this team to be ready to go.
What do you make of the difference of the Drew Lock we saw in the Hall of Fame game and the Drew Lock we saw, after he came back and really sort of took the reins of the offense, especially after that Bills game? Like, it doesn't fall on me, or like, I don't want to ignore the fact that a lot of people were very worried about Drew Lock's ability to play at this level after watching him in some of those preseason games. And I think what it speaks to too, Ben, is just how irrelevant preseason football ultimately is.
Well, yeah, and it took a little while. Drew, of course, got injured. It gave him time to really get in that playbook and, you know, kind of learn some things and, you know, and go from there. I think the other part of this was, the previous offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach, he wasn't really their guy. You know, Brett Rippon kind of was. And so I felt like that, I don't want to say they didn't set him up for success, because that's not exactly true, but, you know, they were focused on getting Joe Flacco up to speed, and they were focused on Brett Rippon and trying to make him look good, because that was their guy that they banged the table for. And so, I think that Drew kind of got done a disservice. And then you get to a point in the season where Drew, like, had to start. They didn't have any option due to, you know, injury to Flacco and Brandon Allen. Watching him not be able to throw the ball in the wind at Buffalo was his death sentence. So, I think what happened was they were kind of forced to cater to him, and, you know, he developed a confidence in the playbook at that point, and that's a part of his game. You know, having that confidence is part of his game. And so he came out against the Chargers. He went gangbusters in the first half. Then they kind of just didn't go back to him in the second half. And then, of course, he lit it up against the Texans as well.
Benjamin Albright here on the Wester Hotline. Ben, the thing that I find interesting, too, is the addition of Melvin Gordon. Frankly, the Broncos just weren't on my radar for teams that Melvin Gordon was likely going to go play for, and maybe that's just because I felt with Freeman and Lindsay that they kind of had a really nice young duo, but I think this says something to me about their actual feelings on Freeman, and more importantly, how much of a role do you expect Melvin Gordon to play, and is this a guy that's going to be, I don't want to say RB1, because no team other than, you know, Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley, those teams, like, have a true RB1, the rest of it is some level of a committee approach. How much of a committee approach are you expecting here, considering Lindsay is still a really good young player with a high ceiling?
Well, you're still going to see a committee approach. It's probably going to be a 60-40 split. But you'll see Melvin Gordon get quite a bit of carries and quite a bit of touches and targets. The thing about Melvin Gordon that he brings to the table that Phil Lindsay doesn't is he's got the size to be able to hold up back there in pass protection. And that was kind of Phil's thing. He just wasn't able to do that. For all the other things that he can do at his size, he's not really able to, you know, to sustain taking on a bull rush from a 275-pound outside linebacker. So, that's really the key there. Royce Freeman has been woefully ineffective running the football. Catching the ball, he wasn't bad, but running the ball, he has been good. The Broncos are bottom five in situational football carries, third down, goal line, goal to go type stuff. Melvin Gordon, number two in the NFL over the last couple of years. So they really brought him in to be a situational running back and kind of be a pass protect guy and, you know, by the way, catch balls out of the backfield and run inside zone too. So, they feel like that they had to pay, you know, a little more than they normally pay a running back, but, you know, they feel like it'll help out with that platoon in the end.
So on the defensive side of the ball, the trade of Jarrell Casey, I had Teron Davenport of ESPN, the Titans reporter, on earlier this afternoon. And
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Even he was a little bit thrown. I mean, he understands that the camp implications of the Titans wanting to make a run at Jadeveon Clowney were really started by the move on from Jarrell Casey. But, you know, when you consider what Casey's going to bring to the interior defensive line of this Broncos team, at age 30, no less, but, I mean, this is a player at $11.5 million in relief that he gave the Titans. Is this a player you're expecting to move the needle, at least in the interim, at least for the next at least year or two, for this Denver defense to take a step this year?
Well, I mean, they think so. They were faced with the prospect of having to replace both their starting defensive ends, Shelby Harris and Derek Wolfe. They get Jarrell Casey in a trade, and then Shelby signs back at 25 cents on the dollar. And now all of a sudden the defensive line's looking pretty good. I think the thing that's lost on a lot of people is how good Denver defense actually was last year. They were number one in red zone defense. top five in about every statistical category, and you know, top third of the league in yards allowed. So despite the fact that their offense was not good, they were still a very good defense, just playing an entirely different philosophy than they used to play over the last couple of years. And so I think that's the main thing. I think having a guy like Casey that's able to come in there and replace Derek Wolf, I think that'll be good, probably an upgrade in my opinion.
Yeah.
And you know, it gives them the opportunity to get after the quarterback a little bit more.
So Vic Fangio coming into his second season, Ben, and made some interesting remarks over, listen, with everything going on in the country right now, I thought it was really interesting, some of the remarks Vic Fangio had about race within the game itself, and that he didn't feel that, you know, African-American players were at a disadvantage in the league. And I thought that really kind of turned some heads. He did later clarify some of his statements. They didn't really want them to come off the way that they did, but regardless, the words were said. Where do you come off on Vic Fangio during this whole thing? And more importantly, you know, John Elway has had a tough run of coaches as of late. And I'm wondering where you stand on Vic Fangio's future and how important this season is just for Fangio.
Well, Vic will be fine. He'll you know, as long as he wins, he'll be fine, and he'll continue to have a job as long as he wants. He's, you know, it's kind of refreshing to cover because he'll actually give you answers.
Sure.
Versus some of these other coaches that that don't, you know, oh, we had a good week of practice, all that kind of stuff. I've lived through those. I quit going to pressers because of that kind of stuff. But Vic makes you come out because he'll answer your questions. As far as the other stuff goes, I think a lot of that was kind of out of context. You know, Vic was really just kind of saying, like, I haven't seen overt racial discrimination in my time in the league. I haven't seen somebody offer, you know, a starting job at an outside linebacker to a white guy over that kind of thing. And he just worded it poorly.
Mm-hmm.
If you start to delve in on that, you know, the first thing he did when there was blowback on those comments, called the team together. It was like, hey guys, here's what I meant. You tell me, have you seen this kind of stuff? I hadn't seen it. And if you do see it, then tell me, let me know so that I can correct that. I think what he really meant was that the NFL is designed to be a meritocracy. If you're the better player, you should theoretically get the starting job. And so, you know, he came out and the Broncos had a team, you know, kind of march, you know, with the protests going downtown. He came out for that. He was all masked up, so nobody recognized him. But he was there supporting his guys and everything else. I don't think that those remarks are certainly not an internal issue. Externally, I know the media still likes to bring them up and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. But there's not really there really wasn't much to it in terms of there being you know, a negative there, more of a cluelessness and poor wording.
So sticking with the coaching staff here, Ben, Pat Shurmur coming in as the new offensive coordinator. I'm interested in your thoughts on his time in New York, maybe more importantly last year, and what is he able to do with Daniel Jones, and maybe what your expectations on what he'll be able to bring over and carry over with another young quarterback in Drew Lock. You know, frankly, I think Shurmur was kind of set up to fail last year. I think it was pretty obvious that they were moving on from him, whether pretty much unless they made the playoffs, which that was not a roster capable of making the playoffs last year. Pat Shurmur's job was going to be over at the end of the season. So I'm interested in your thoughts of what he was able to do. Were you impressed with what you saw from Daniel Jones last year, considering he was kind of the guy that most people looked at as the big reach in that draft?
Yeah, I like Daniel Jones coming out as a prospect. I thought the opinion on him, the negative opinion on him was overblown. I thought he was a decent prospect. I thought, you know, Shurmur did a pretty good job with him. You know, it's interesting that Drew Lock was in consideration for the quarterback job there too. Shurmur and Mike Shula both really liked him, but ultimately the front office and the GM and the ownership there wanted to go with Daniel Jones, and that's the direction they went. But I can tell you, Drew Lock was very, very serious in that conversation for quarterbacks for the Jets. This could have worked out differently. I think as far as, you know, bringing Shurmur in here, the thing about bringing up a young quarterback and a young offense that they've got here in Denver is you don't want to do that and have to be coaching up your offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach, which is what the Broncos were faced with if they'd hung on to Rich Gangarello and T.C. McCarty, first-timers at those positions. So instead, you bring in Mike Shula, you bring in Pat Shurmur, guys with a ton of experience around the league, and I think that'll help. That'll be kind of a calming, guiding veteran hand to a very, very young offense that seems to have a lot of potential on paper.
Got Benjamin Albright here on the Western Hotline. All right, before I let you go, Benjamin, Von Miller, he is entering into, this is the last year of his contract or second last year of his contract. He's got a contract that is approaching the end. Let's put it that way. Bradley Chubb on the other side, highly touted draft pick, went before Josh Allen a few years ago, coming off a knee injury. Where are they? What's the state of the edge with this Broncos team? And is Von Miller going to ultimately end up finishing his career out in Denver?
I think that's likely. The team has an option after this season. He's on a team option right now, but the team has another option after this season at, you know, 20-ish million, with little to no dead cap. And so, it really depends on this season. Von's sack total was down last year, but he was still like number two in the NFL in pressure rate. And that was with nobody opposite him. You know, they had Malik Reed, an undrafted guy. They had Dustin Hollins rotated through there. Jerry Itachu, they signed midseason, put him out there on the other side. Teams were double and triple teaming and chipping Von on one side. He just couldn't get home. So, I think you're going to see, I don't want to say a resurgence, but certainly a bounce back season from Von Miller this year if Bradley Chubb stays healthy over on the other side. He was a monster in his rookie season. So they're heavy at the top. They've got a lot of top tier talent at the edge rush, with Chubb and Miller. The guys behind them are kind of just guys, and so it'll be interesting to see what they develop in the pipeline behind them in the coming years.
All right, Ben, we really appreciate it. Thanks for making 15-20 minutes for me as always, man. Always appreciate how great you are with your time. So really appreciate it, man. And we'll be talking again soon as the season approaches with the Bills and Broncos on the schedule coming up here mid-season. So thanks again, man. Really appreciate it.
Yep, looking forward to it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.